Let's start with 2:17, 18, and 19, if we can. Start in Colossians 2, beginning of verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, the voluntary humility and overshedding of wages, including into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and linked together, increaseth with the increase of God. All right, verse 17 talks about these things in verse 16 as being a shadow. What would that mean? What's the difference? What is a shadow, anyway?
A shadow is a reflection of something that's real.
A reflection of something that's real.
I mean, you look in the wall, you see a shadow of a staff up there, a staff, a flagstaff. Mm-hmm. That's a shadow of something that's not... Shadow isn't what's real, it's the actual the staff, the flag that's real.
All right.
We go outside, we can see shadows of things. So a shadow is an indication that there's something real nearby, or something real that's coming in this case. Right.
So the real thing is the thing that causes a shadow to come when the light is behind it, right?
The shadow is just a little bit of the big thing.
A little bit of the big thing. Picture a shadow. So all these things in verse 16 are simply shadows and not the actual body, which is of Christ. In other words, a real fulfillment of the shadow. Do you have shadows in the pure blackness of night?
No.
Do you have shadows when there is a moon?
Yes.
Yes. But pure blackness, no shadow. Got to be some light at least to cast the shadow. When it's in the daytime and you're walking outside, do you have a shadow as you walk if it's sunshine is out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not at high noon.
Okay. What happens at high noon?
No shadow.
No shadow. You see yourself just straight up. But as the sun declines, now does the shadow lengthen or does the shadow get smaller?
The turn.
I know, but as the sun declines, so as you see it, you know.
Yeah.
All right, but as the sun seems to decline, all right.
Stands
to get longer. Well, that's heliocentricity versus geocentricity. That's right. There's the distinction. Yes, Anna?
Well, no matter what the sun moves anyway, suppose the sun moves no matter what, theory is based on the fact that the whatever.
So what I'm trying to get at is as the sun... from our position here on Earth, the movement, whether it's real or imaginary, as it seems to move or really moves and goes down as the sun sets, we speak of the sun setting, does the shadow get smaller or get larger?
Smaller.
Smaller? Larger? We got a difference of opinion. Who's right?
It gets longer.
Okay.
It gets sort of stretched out as the sun sets.
Well, according to where you are now. If you're in the east, it's longer. If you're in the west,
now
if you're in the west, it's longer. If you're in the east,
well, I'm talking right here. All right, but the shadow. There's an old radio program called The Shadow. The Shadow Note. Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. Lamont Cranston was the name. The Shadow. Brother Quarles, what was the overall picture?
What he works in the hearts of men.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. Oh, yes. So he was an investigator? I forget what he was.
Very high living individual that hated crime.
I see, and he was after criminals.
Just like the Batman.
All right. So that's good.
But he wasn't bad.
So questions at bftbc.org if you want to call us in for comments or questions. We have some of our Korean folk visiting with us again, which is good. We have one from Korea, a young man who's there with John, and all the rest of the ones that are here. Brother Quarles is here, so call us at 856-261-9018 if you wish, or give us the questions at bftbc.org. And Dan, is your machine doesn't work anymore?
We're here.
It works now? With
questions, yeah, we got them. Yeah.
But your cell phone doesn't work?
We have two things we're working with. My phone is the delay in my phone.
Uh-huh.
We have two ways of receiving emails this morning.
I see. All right.
Questions at bftbc.org.
That's right. Questions at bftbc.org. All right. Now, in verse number 18, there's a command. What is the command in this verse?
Let no man beguile you.
All right. And beguile means what?
Trick you.
All right. Trick, deceive, discourage, all these things. Who is the beguiler first in the Bible?
Satan.
The devil, Satan. What form did he take?
Eat the fruit.
Serpent. And what was his command? What was his intention?
Eat the fruit.
Yeah. What did God say?
Oh.
He said, the day thou eatest thereof, what? I shall surely die. And so Eve took of that apple, but that no man beguile you of your reward.
Well, actually, it wasn't Adam, it was Eve.
Eve that took the forbidden fruit, then gave to Adam, and then he ate also.
Right? It's good.
That's right. What did you say, Dan?
I don't remember.
Okay. So, the beguile you of your reward. Now, what does reward mean? Reward.
Also, Bema
seat
of Christ.
At the Bema
seat. Way back to the Old Testament.
Okay, the reward in general. For saved people, will they get rewards?
Yeah.
Will all saved people get rewards?
No. Should.
What's the difference between being saved and going to heaven and getting a reward in addition to going to heaven?
Well,
will you get some rewards in addition to going to heaven?
Rewards are based on works.
Yeah. Well, works when? Before we're saved or after we're saved?
After we're saved.
Yeah, Tammy? All right, works done by the power of the Spirit, not in our own flesh. That's absolutely true. What would works done in the power of the flesh, even after we're saved? What would that amount to?
Wood, hay, and stubble.
Wood, hay, and stubble.
Perishable,
burned up. Fire's going to try those works. Foundation we're built on, Christ, if we're saved and born again genuinely. But reward, now let me ask you this. Does the runner who runs in a race usually seek to win the race?
Yes, sure.
Yes, he does. If he wins a race, does he usually get some sort of reward?
A medal.
Yes, a medal or whatever. In the New Testament, what did they give him?
A laurel
wreath. Just a wreath and so on. That was a little tiny thing, but to them that was a great honor. And some people just get a sheet of paper, get some recognition, something, but reward. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the basis of the rewards for Christians are given there. And at the judgment seat of Christ for saved people, it talks about a foundation. Can no man lay other foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the foundation. And then it talks about building upon this building, this foundation building. Now, there's different building materials. What are the building materials?
Wood, hay, and stubble.
Wood, hay, and stubble. You can build on that
gold,
foundation.
Silver,
gold, silver, and precious stones. Which is bigger? Which type of arrangement is bigger? Wood, hay, and stubble is usually bigger. Then gold, silver, and precious stone. Which is more valuable?
Gold,
precious stone. Which will perish with the fire? What is that? What does the fire do to the gold, silver, and precious stone?
Purifies.
So there's rewards, as it says in that scripture. And so let no man beguile you or confuse you with reward. Now, there's certain things that are mentioned here. First of all, a voluntary humility. What is humility, first of all?
Humble,
all right. What does voluntary mean? What's the opposite?
Involuntary.
So, in other words, you wish that you want to be humble. You make yourself humble. Is there a humbleness or humility of the flesh? Can fleshly people humble themselves?
Yes.
Yes, they can make themselves small and so on. Is there a spiritual humility?
Yes.
Someone has defined humility as this. Something, if you think you have it, you don't. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm.
Something, if you think you have it, you don't. Definition of humility.
That's from the other person.
In other words, if someone says, I'm humble.
He's lying.
Proud of it. See, so anyhow, but humility, voluntary humility, don't let anybody beguile you about that. And what's the next phrase here in verse 18?
Worship.
Worshipping what?
Angels.
Now, who are angels? What are angels?
Messengers of God.
Messengers of God. Are they real or imaginary?
They're real.
They're real. Were they at the birth of Christ?
Yes.
The birth of the Lord Jesus? They were there, weren't they? Angels from heaven and so on. Were they at the death of Christ, at the burial of Christ?
Yes.
Yes, an angel at the tomb, remember? And the man standing there, and what did the angel say?
Why seek ye the dead amongst the living?
All right. Why seek ye the dead? Yes, Anna?
There was also an angel in the Garden of Gethsemane.
All right. What was he doing there?
He was, I forget if it says, was he
strengthening the Lord, that's right. Strengthening, the angel of God was strengthening him that he would not die in the garden, but wait until the cross of Calvary. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Yvonne?
Were there angels on the temptation? Did they feed him or something? I forget what that was. Moses?
I don't know about the angels and the temptation.
Yeah, they came and ministered to him after the 40-day temptation.
The angels came ministered. Yes, thank you. That, at the very end of the 40 days, ministered unto him. Where else are angels involved? In 2 Corinthians 11, where Satan is called what?
The angel of light.
Angel of light.
It's because of the angels.
What is that?
1 Corinthians 11 is because of the angels.
What happened? Because of the angels.
Yeah, the certain order because of the angels.
Women should have proper length hair because of the angels. And many of us feel that that goes back to Genesis chapter 6, when the angels of God saw the daughters of men intermarried with them, and monsters were born, and therefore God had to kill all of the people except eight in the flood. So the terrible thing. So to keep so the angel wouldn't come and be attracted in this in the same way, that's what some people believe as far as that's concerned. So angels are defined in Hebrews chapter 1 as what?
Ministering
spirits sent forth. To them,
who are saved.
To the heirs of salvation. The heirs of salvation. That's right. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, who are angels there? Called angels, meaning what?
Pastors
of the churches. Messengers. See, the angel of the church of Ephesus, the angel of the church of Laodicea, of Smyrna, Pergamos. Probably angel angelos, meaning the messenger. In other words, probably the pastor of those churches. See, the one that's representing them. All right, what kind of angels are there? What the classifications of angels?
Seraphim.
What else?
Messenger.
Well, messengers, yes. The seraphim and cherubim, so those are classifications. And what else?
We'll have a classification as archangel.
The archangel means the lead angel. For their fallen angels, too, aren't they?
Satan.
Yeah. Satan, does he have any followers? Does Satan manage to have any of his followers fall with him?
Yes.
Yes, there are many, many fallen angels. What is their destiny?
Lake of fire.
For what was the lake of fire prepared?
The
devil and his angels. Matthew chapter, I forget the chapter in Matthew. Yes, Ron?
Review for me how the other angels fell with Satan. Did they take sides? I can't remember. I mean, that's my thing. I can tell you what I remember, but I'm
well, in Isaiah chapter 14, Satan had five I wills to God. One of them, I will be like the Most High. And apparently, when he fell, he took some others with him. And he had access formerly to the presence of God. Although the Bible tells us exactly the details of when they followed him. I don't know that they followed, but he has in this book of Revelation, for example, it says the devil and his angels fought with God and Michael and his angels. Now there was a battle, angelic battle.
Where's that? Tell me
where that is. Well, it's in the book of Revelation.
12:4.
Okay.
Well, there's a guy that knows. 12:4. Okay. Yes. So,
Satan's cast out. Michael, the archangel, and Satan, and the holy angels fighting.
Mm-hmm.
While Michael, the archangels, angels of God, win, and Satan's cast out.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins his wrath and persecution of the Jews and church.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who delivered the child, Israel, which is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he begins a worldwide persecution. Hitler was like mm-hmm. kindergarten when Satan begins a worldwide persecution of the Jew.
Right.
His hatred.
Yes.
And he's no longer the accuser.
No longer the accuser. Very good. Now, do you recall anybody that says found here worshiping of angels? Is there worshiping of angels today?
Roman Catholic
worship angels.
Worship angels.
Worship
saints.
Saints and so they've also referred. They pray to the saints and so on.
They pray to the Pope too. That's terrible.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yes, Martha. Yeah. Yes, Pastor.
If I've been in 30th Street Station, you see the great apostasy of the angel lift a man up.
They were not.
Stay there.
It's in the great big statue in 36th Station, Philadelphia. They had the statue of the angel holding man up.
Oh, there, I think
it's 36th Station.
I saw the building.
Hmm? Outside or inside?
Inside. It's inside. It's been up there for years.
Oh, really?
Now, when you look at that, no, it's God lifted man up, not no angel.
Yeah.
But that's part of Roman Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. Is there not a television program about angels?
It used to be.
Used to be. What's the name of that? I don't remember it. Just comes
City of Angels.
Pardon?
There's another movie called City of Angels.
City of Angels.
No, it was a woman story.
Was that,
Bill?
No, what Anthony's referring to was actually a police story.
A police story, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't about angels. Uh-huh. I know what you mean, though, but yeah. I can't think of the name of it. But it's about an angel that actually comes and guides a person.
Yes. Some strange.
Woman was an angel.
Yeah.
And Della Reese was, I guess, was supposed to be Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh. It's a shame she was a good singer, too.
So I was.
It came on Sunday nights.
So we
and she was a woman.
Yes.
The angels are masculine.
Yes, they are. Angelos, masculine.
Charlie's
angel. That's a little different angel.
Yeah, that's one of them.
But voluntary humility, worshiping him. Does God want us to worship angels?
No.
Who does he want us to worship?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus, himself, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all the three, for the Trinity, not angels. Then it says, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Intruding. What does intruding mean?
Busting in.
Talk about an intruder. Does an intruder belong, or does an intruder not belong?
No,
it doesn't belong. Had this couple coming in there with intruders to the party that right. The president threw. Saw an article. Anthony's going like this. An article about two people that were intruders, you know. You go down and see the picture. President Obama and his wife, because they didn't qualify to be the president. See, they're not born naturally born citizens, born in Africa. That's a laugh, but intruders mean those that come in, they shouldn't be in there. Those two people, they claimed they had a pass, you remember? Mm-hmm. They didn't have any pass. I forget their names, but some strange name. And they also broke into another party.
It was a breakfast.
They
had a date mixed up.
But remember that other, they had a Negro or a black caucus that they broke in before the president's. I forget the name of the thing, but. Be careful of those intruding and those things which they have not seen. Now, how do you go about going into things you haven't seen? Can that somebody explain that to me?
You believe that something's happening in there.
All right.
But you don't see it.
All right.
It's like down in Thomas. He didn't believe that was Jesus.
So there's a good thing about whom having not seen we love. We walk by faith and not by sight. A good thing, but apparently this is an evil type of thing. Yeah, Anna?
Well, if you don't understand something completely, you shouldn't make things that are based upon scripture, I don't know what I'm saying.
I was thinking of the passage, where the Roman Catholic Church has Mary interceding to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, there's only one person mediator between God and man.
That's right. That was the things that could
That movie was touched by an angel.
That's right. Okay, those things. In other words, there are apparently some people that are trying to unscrew the inscrutable. That's an expression that Dr. Walbert used to say in Dallas. People trying to unscrew the inscrutable. You can't unscrew it. In other words, you can't really go into things that are unfathomable. And can't really understand, but they're trying to still deep down there come into the deep secrets. I think maybe the Gnostics had this deep learning. Nobody else can understand it, but the Gnostics, a special, very deep thinking. Get that?
Now, this is going back to thoughts, sir. But are the seraphim and cherubim a type of angel, or are they a unique being in and of themselves?
I would think there would be a classification of angels. Certainly they'd be unique, yes. Seraphim are called burning ones. Seraph, to burn. Cherubims were the ones that were... Where did God post at the Garden of Eden so they wouldn't go back? Cherubims, all right. And what did Isaiah see in Isaiah 6?
Seraphim,
all right. So there's different classification of angels.
They're different, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're different.
Different species.
But Dan, I don't know whether that answers that or not. What do you think about it?
Well, I always thought it was a type of angel, but some people believe the seraphim and cherubim are not angels, they're just something other, some other type of created being.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they're splitting hairs as far as that's concerned, and whether or not the non-seraphim, non-cherubim have wings or not, whether or not they, I mean, clearly in the Isaiah passage, they're flying, mm-hmm. they have six mm-hmm. wings, with 20 they cover their face, with 20 they cover their feet, with 20 they fly.
Mm-hmm.
They have the holy dosh. Is that the Greek?
Holy, Hebrew.
And so, I mean, I was thinking that they were a classification, the type of angel.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that believe they're completely different beings.
Yes. Well, I think they seem to be angelic beings, but does that mean that all angels have wings just because the seraphim cherubim have wings? Doesn't mean that at all. See, the angel that appeared at the tomb didn't have any wings. The angel appeared to Mary didn't have any wings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're just plain people. Mm-hmm. Yes, Brother Quarles.
Wings, I was thinking of angels that went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well,
yeah.
We can't tell from the text.
Yeah.
But also, we go to Job,
mm-hmm.
and especially Ezekiel, we see the wheel within the wheel, and the four, and the angels around the throne of God, the faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaiah, the seraphims there seem to just be singing, holy, 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 night mm-hmm. and day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the intrusion into the things that they see not. In other words, we can, for instance, the atoms and the nucleus of the atoms and the protons and neutrons, I mean, that's, I don't think it's talking about that, because we look at that, that's how we see matter. We see matter from Dan.
Well, maybe we don't know what the angels look like unless they're specifically described for us, so maybe we should just wait and find out.
Yes.
Well, it must have been in the Greek and Hebrew.
Yeah.
Did they define it when they translated it?
Well, just simply angelos, which simply means messenger. It can be either human messenger or divine messenger. See, in the case of angels, it would be divine messenger.
I mean, definitions, didn't
it? Well, it just
didn't means... the definitions come out of the Arabic and the Latin and the...
Hebrew and Aramaic.
They must have gave the description of a seraphim, wasn't it?
Well, seraphim, yes.
Become a seraphim in English.
Yeah, burning ones. That's seraphim. Seraphim is just transliteration. Tammy, and then Pastor Coral.
What is the point of this verse? Is it that they were not to worship idols?
Could be.
I mean, that was the verse last week in 1 John 5, mm-hmm. the last verse of the chapter.
Keep yourself from idols.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Pastor Quarles, do you have an idea on this?
No.
Or something else you were going to say?
No, I was going to mention probably the greatest of all the angels in the Old Testament was the angel of Jehovah.
Yes.
The pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, the angel of the Lord, absolutely. So, not looking into the things which you have not seen. Then what's this last phase? We'll have to stop there. We don't understand the depth of the thing. But vainly puffed up by his flesh and man. What's vainly mean? Vainly. What's
pride.
That? What's that?
Vainly. Like pride.
Like pride. Puffed up. What's that mean?
Ego.
All right. Brother Paul?
I was just thinking the last couple of days, the Pope over in Rome with all his vestures,
mm-hmm.
and all the things, he's out there blessing people, and thousands of people looking mm-hmm. up, and this man's just a sinner.
Yes. What happened to the Pope the other day?
A woman jumped and grabbed him, threw him down. No, same one from last year.
Same woman?
Same woman.
That's the same
woman. Same. Oh, really? She didn't change her shirt.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that. He probably smelled her coming.
They enlarged. I think they enlarged. They did something to me more, but she just jumped and got him, and then some cardinal got hurt.
Yeah, he broke his hip.
Really? The cardinal broke his hip? The cardinal, he
not
fell also?
Not the Pope, but one of his assistants.
Did he fall also, or what?
Yes, he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, he's the
cardinal.
He was a cardinal from St. Louis.
He was a cardinal from St. Louis?
No.
All right. So, but I don't see how the cardinal broke the hip trying to rescue the Pope. Or what?
No.
Well, he got knocked down.
Also, then we had two knockdowns. The
yeah,
Pope and the cardinal.
And his cardinal, he broke his hip. He was retired.
Oh, my.
It's too bad.
I don't know if he got
so, here
or not.
Vainly puffed up by Slayer Dan. Oh, excuse me, Tammy. Got the wrong hand.
I mean, when I think of voluntary humility, I think of the Catholic Church and all these different things that you were supposed to do. You were supposed to bow and mm-hmm. the sign of the cross before you even went into sit down in your pew. And then,
mm-hmm.
You know, a cousin of mine, when she got married, she did the same thing in front of the statue of Mary. I mean, it's a voluntary humility,
mm-hmm.
and it's from the flesh, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to Now that's what I think.
And they may still have been doing it.
Yes. Beguiling. Questions at bftbc.org or simply 856-261-9018. Give us a call if you want to say hello to the friends and say, make a comment. Vain and puffed up in this fleshly mind. Fleshly mind, what is that?
That means it's evil mind.
All right, evil mind, not spiritual mind, natural mind, carnal mind, probably carnal mind. So puffed up minds, what do men and women look like or act like with puffed up minds?
Arrogant.
Big-headed. Sometimes they look very religious.
Sometimes they look religious?
Yes.
How do they act?
Very religious.
Okay, irreligious? Puffed up in their natural flesh and mind? Anna?
I don't think that means
no.
Religious because they're vainly puffed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not just puffed up, they're vainly puffed up. That means they're putting on a show.
Well, all right, a show?
Pharisees, that's what I was thinking of. Like, they were outwardly doing all this and outwardly religious, but they didn't have the truth.
All right.
So like the Academy Awards, all those girls and guys get all dressed up. They're all vainly puffed up. So they can look better on TV.
Now, does any fleshly mind know more than the Lord?
No.
No, not a single one of them, see. Some of them think they may know more than the Lord, Brother God.
Could you apply this? About a week ago, the Episcopal Church nominated a woman bishop who was a lesbian. And you sit there trying to scratch your head. And these people think it's just great.
They think it's great.
You know, she's living with her partner.
Yes.
And they're sodomites.
Absolutely. Sodomites is right.
And lesbians all think it's great.
They all think it's great.
The lesbians.
Lesbian thinks great.
Yeah,
and Obama thinks it's great. He's all for the lesbians, all for the homosexuals.
This morning.
That's right, heard this morning. That's right. But sad to say, they get a lot of votes. You get the votes, he's ready for 2012.
Not that many.
Well, not a whole lot of them, but enough of them. So, vainly puffed up, because God, he does not want any of these things. No man beguiled you through all these things. In verse number 19, the negative is involved here. All these things are not doing what?
Holding the head.
Not holding. Who is the head?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. That's a title we give to the Lord. And if saved people realize the Lord Jesus Christ is their head, what should that do to their lives?
Humble them.
It should humble them.
The servant attitude.
Servant attitude. They should be obedient to them. Feed the head. You talk about the head waiter. And the head bouncer, you know, all the word in English that we say, now normally we use the head. He's the head of this company. It would mean the leader, isn't it? It's a leader. It
comes from the head itself.
The head itself, that's right. And the head, Lord Jesus, is the head.
Takes care of the body because it's got the brain in it.
The brain and all the actions of it falls in there.
Could you apply the Constitution of the President? He's the Commander in Chief of the Armed Forces.
Yes, he's
the head of the United States of America.
Exactly, he's the head. And, also, as you say, Commander-in-Chief of all armed forces, as such. And not holding the head. What does it mean to hold the head? What sense holding?
Revere him, I guess.
Oh, revere? Holding up?
Not looking up to him.
Not looking up to him?
Be submissive to him.
Be submissive to him? I think all that is
holding on to in your mind.
Holding on to, clinging to, some of that thing could be.
Leaning on.
Leaning on, that's right, leaning on the head. From whom the whole body, what's this body? From whom the whole body? Who is the body you mentioned?
Born-again believers.
Born-again believers. Some hold the body as being what? North Jersey, Connecticut, I should say. What do they hold as means the
local.
Body? Just the local church, the body of Christ, that's it, see? What do we believe in our church here?
It's the body of Christ.
The body of Christ, saved people, born-again Christians.
They're
wherever they may
the
be.
Body of Christ.
The body of Christ, holding up the head from which all the body, now, if all these saved people join together, what's it by joints and bands? What are joints and bands?
Joints inside your body.
Alright, joints and bands, your body.
I guess it's the human body.
The analogy of the human
things,
body.
The human body, all these things hold us up.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't work, we fall over. But I don't know what that has to do with the head. Because your body, your leg could be broken and your head could still be working.
The head moves over the body.
You can't.
Look.
You can't really function.
All right. This is the body, the brain telling the my arm to go up and down. It comes from the head.
Yep.
The brain.
The body, the tank.
I just said the head is cut off, then the body ceases to
beat. So in other words, to have a head of a body, the body must be well organized and able to follow the head. If the hand is cut off, that hand can't follow the head. In other words, so that bands and joints. What are bands and joints?
Sinew.
Well, it could be sinew.
Ligaments, it says.
Could be ligaments, all right. Joints and bands.
Your joints may not. That's what I mean.
Ligaments and bone, the whole structure, the skeleton that we have, the skeleton, the joined by cartilage, all the cartilage is there. So it's a picture having nourishment ministered. What is nourishment?
Well, body, it's food.
Food, all right.
Makes you, tells you to eat, I guess.
Right, so the joints must be nourished, otherwise they'd be creaking, and that's why we, in our house at least, we like glucosamine to nourish our cartilage, nourish it so it doesn't squeak and rattle and grind the bones apart and have pain, so on, different things like that. Yeah.
Well, this is talking spiritually, so spiritual nourishment will be found in the Word of God.
Yes, it would. The Word of God, the Scriptures, full nourishment, knowing them, reading them, studying them, following them, doing what's told by them, be nourished and ministered. And then knit together. What's that knit together bit?
Held together.
Works together, too.
Working together. And then it says it increases with the increase of God. What is the increasing part of this body?
The spiritual increase. Going into Word of God. Learn more about God, believe.
All right. And, Paul?
I was going to say, the longest distance in the world is 17 inches from the head to the heart.
Longest distance from the head to the heart.
17 inches.
Yes, getting into the heart, very important to nourish the whole body and following the head. And that could be two types of increase, either increase qualitatively or quantitatively. Which is more important, qualitative or quantitative?
Qualitative.
Qualitative. Why? Both are helpful, but why do you think of the two?
Yeah, we must be mature and be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so this quality is important, and also the quantity also.
If you have quantity with quality, what if you have quantity without quality?
It deteriorates. You don't have good quality.
Right.
And it doesn't help you.
Right, Anna?
It says, new old participant from the city of brotherly love.
Philadelphia, old participant. All right, go on ahead.
Finally able to configure your system to listen to the broadcast on my Mac using Windows Media Player and Firefox. Only able to get in late. What verse is being discussed? Mr. Novak.
Oh, Jonathan. How about that? We miss you, Jonathan. It's Colossians chapter 2, tell him, and verse number 18 and 19. Colossians 2, 19. Thank you, Jonathan. Must be ill. We missed him. He was here in the storm last Sunday when nobody else was here but Jonathan.
Couldn't get out of the house.
But he was here, yeah. Huh?
I'm wondering if this increase is an increase of God. If you take in food and things aren't working in your body, the food doesn't do you any good. Like if you take medicine and it's not working right in your body, it doesn't do any good. And people that hear the Word of God and they don't let it nourish their souls and increase their spiritual living, it doesn't do them any good.
That's right.
If they don't live, you said something about living, I don't know what you said or not, but living. When you take it in, you should live what you've heard. You should live the Word. You should
walk it in.
If you take it in and you don't live it, what good is it?
Doesn't do any good. Anna?
It's not convicting or anything.
Reminds me of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. I planted a palace form, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that waters, but God that giveth the increase.
God that giveth the increase. Very important. God increase. And the increase of God, and by God, God can increase. And I think, as Brother Ewan says, quality, very important. That we there are very few apostles. One of them let the Lord down. There's 13, 12, minus one would be 11. And they're small. But with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, they just led it all over the world, and just Christianity spread because of persecution, basically. Huh?
I think
you said this morning something about if you're a Christian, if you're born again, it should, certain things should fall away. There should be fruit. I don't know how you said it, but it was good.
A different logic.
You know, that if you're really saved, then there should be some showing in your life. It should be, the old thing should pass away. You know, the old life, there should be a different life.
No longer do we like the things we used to like.
Right.
As Paul says, that which I used to do, I don't want to do it anymore, but still, I want to do this difficult. So the important things of the Lord are the increase, the head of the Lord Jesus being the exalted person, not the Pope. Is the Pope the head in verse 19?
No.
No. Are the angels?
No.
No. Are the saints?
No.
Is the Roman Catholic Church?
No.
Is any church?
No.
Is the Baptist Church?
No.
Any Baptist Church? Nothing. No. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the head.
Amen.
And the head of any local church must be Christ. If it's not Christ, then it's the wrong type of church. Then let's read verse 20, 21, 22 together. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. All right, verse 20. What does wherefore mean?
Why.
Is it?
Why.
Could be why. What else might it mean? For that reason, or in other words,
for what reason?
In other words, all that precedes is the basis of the present verse. Because of all this, wherefore? Because of all this, what's the conclusion? If he be dead, what type of condition is this? What's he saying? If we be dead.
Because you're dead, or since that you're dead.
All right. So
we're supposed to have died with Christ on Calvary.
That's what it says earlier, doesn't it? We died, if we're saved and born again, we died with Christ at the cross. We were buried with Christ, born with Christ, we ascended with Christ, proceeded with Christ. Okay, Anna?
It says, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, in other words, from like, from sin and
your
dead to sin into the flesh, like.
All right.
See what that means?
Yes. What is a rudiment?
Elements.
Like an element, elements of the world, something. The ABCs, the very bedrock, basic stepping stones of the world. The dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. So, what does it say in Galatians 2:2? Remember 2:20? Nevertheless, I crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said that he's dead with Christ, yet he lives. And so if he's dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, then the question is asked. What question?
Why is the living in the world?
Okay.
He then subject to ordinances.
What ordinances do you think are referred to here?
Well, angels
laws.
And
probably laws. What law would be this? What was Colossians, what they try to convince the Colossian church to do?
Sufficiency of Christ.
Well, sufficiency of Christ. Was not given. Paul tried to get him sufficiency of Christ.
Well, the Jewish people had a lot of laws.
All right.
They put on people.
All right.
Like, you know, all kind of laws.
All right.
And then
it's
like saying
Gnosticism.
Gnosticism. They tried to put out laws.
And
the church had
all kind of laws too.
Yeah,
fasting,
holy
days, all kinds of things.
Yes. Over and above things.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's a law with grace.
Law with grace, yeah.
Would this reference back to verse 16? Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day.
Probably going back to that, rudiments of the world. I mean, the world would be subject to ordinances.
That could be.
It says if you're dead with Christ from the rudiments, how come you're still subject to ordinances?
Right.
And the ordinances normally local laws.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're alive, you have to obey the laws.
Mm-hmm.
Local.
But that would be applied to the current laws. But I think, Anthony, the picture of Colossians was that the Jews were coming in with all the laws of Moses. See, they had the laws of the Old Testament.
Jewish
laws and ordinances, yes. And they wanted the Christians not to just be saved by grace through faith, but they want to add this and this and this from the Old Testament. So they should be circumcised. They should have holy days. Galatians too, but Colossians as well. They had some of the.
Maybe not.
But you got to read the previous word.
Right.
If you're dead.
Exactly. So you're not subject.
Why then are you still subject to the local ordinance, not God's ordinances?
Right. So the mixture.
Really has something on there.
Was it more the influence of the Greek culture, even though it was Roman at this time, but because a lot of the philosophers of the Greeks had such a huge impact in that part of the world that it extended way beyond, you know, the time of their military role into the time of the Romans. I mean. This worshiping of angels is not Jewish, I wouldn't think.
That's right.
It would seem like it's more of pagan or a cultic kind of philosophy. Yeah.
I think it was false mysticism that was brought in by Gnostics, the Gnosticism of the philosophy of the people. But they had their own ways of doing it.
Gnosticism.
Yeah.
I think I remember that recently.
Yes.
Gnostics had gotten in philosophy.
They got a lot of philosophy, a lot of things, ordinances that they were not to follow, or that they were to follow. And then they list a few of the ordinances. On verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not. In other words, which will perish with the using. Now these, some of these were Old Testament, some of them were Gnostic type of thing, but you can't escape from Jews that were trying to influence the Christians to go back to Judaism, but this could also be the philosophy of the Gnostics, which are trying to influence them to do some of their little tricks and so on. Now, some people, yes, Brother Quarles.
Oh, no, I was thinking, well, used to be when I was growing up, Catholics, they could eat meat on Fridays and eat fish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You don't find that nowhere in Testament.
Now, some people have used this verse 21 especially, to be speaking of totally opposed to any separation of Christians from evil and from false practices. Do you think that this applies to everything that the scripture says to abstain from? Does this mean that because these things are here, we have no separation from apostasy and liberalism and fleshly things? Does this wipe out any separation from sin?
No.
You have
to
take
no.
Context.
What is it?
I think you have to take it.
Exactly.
Context.
Exactly. But some have used this to say, well, you see, you people that say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and being negative. Well, if the Bible says don't do this specifically, right in the scripture, should we obey the Bible not to do that? Mm-hmm. We should obey the Bible. See, that's the point. Mm-hmm. See, there's a difference, and people have negatives. For instance, the Ten Commandments, the nine of which are repeated in the New Testament. How many of them are negative? Huh?
Nine.
Not nine.
Six.
Eight.
What are the two that are positive?
Remember
the Sabbath day?
Honor
father and mother. Now you see, all that negativity, if you apply that and say, never have any negatives, why eight of the Ten Commandments will be thrown right out, you see. We've got to be sure that when the Bible says no, we say no. When the Bible says yes, we say yes. We follow the Bible. But these three things, a lot of people are using this to say, oh, you people are too separated. I can't do this, I can't do that. They thought they throw out everything the Bible says that is decent and proper, and they say we can do anything we want to do because we can never be negative about anything. So I just want to point that out because touch not, taste not, handle not. These are some things that apparently the Gnostics and probably some of the Old Testament people trying to get them back in were trying to say, which are to perish with the using. So apparently these are things that are eating, things that are touching, and they perish. Now the main thing is, in verse number 22, what are all these things
from? They're commandments and doctrines of men.
They're from the commandments and doctrines of men. What are commandments and doctrines of men? What, as a distinguished from what?
Humanistic doctrine.
Humanistic doctrines?
As opposed to the
Word of God. Those are the Word of God, the doctrines of the Lord Himself, doctrines of God. And so, can men impose things upon us if they wish?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the Roman Catholic Church opposing
meet on Friday, no meet on Friday, different things, bowing and courtesy and cross, some different things. So, now, are there commandments of men that we do follow in the civil sense in our country? Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Does the scripture make provision for that?
Yes, obey.
Yes, obey those in authority. Mm-hmm. As long as they don't violate the scripture, we obey those in authority over us and honor the king. And we don't have a king, but we honor the authorities above us. So there are certain commandments, but things that are superimposed upon us. Remember this morning we took the background of the different history of the Roman Catholic things that have come in through 300 AD and beyond. All kinds of things. It's back there on the rack. That's amazing to see where the worship of the Pope came in, where the prayer to the saints came in, where Mary's exaltation came in, all the different things. It's named hour by hour, year by year, I should say. Yeah, Anna?
We have a note again from the City of Brotherly Love.
All right.
The subject is ordinances. My thinking is that we are subject to local ordinances with respect to earthly courts, but this does not have effect on eternal judgment, which is satisfied by Jesus' atonement on the cross.
Yes, that's right, Jonathan. Thank you. Appreciate that. Glad you could tune in on us and actually hear us, even though you're not able to be with us. And we're glad for a lot of people like that. So anyone else have to write us, give us an email, questions@bftbc.org, or call us, 856-261-9018. Now, did we finish? We finished
20. Let's
do the read the last verse. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all real worship with humility and the neglecting of this body, not the honor to the satisfier of the flesh. All right, the doctrines of men. First of all, before we go to 23, still in verse 22. Doctrines of men. Can you give me some examples of this that God says have to follow? Doctrines of men. Pharisees have plenty of doctrines at the end.
I think as Muslims, you have to go to Mecca at least once in your life. Mm-hmm. You have to bow down five times a day to the east.
Those would be commandments of men. That's good doctrines of men. Anna?
The institution of Rome.
All right. Bob?
In some churches, they have a lot of rules. They're not necessarily written down in a book. I think that they're rules, and last time the pastor preaches on them all the time. You know, how to dress, and all these different things. I'm for nice dressing, but I mean, there's different rules. I just wonder if that would apply. And then there's other churches that are extremely, I don't know if liberal is the word, they can dress any way they want to. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to have hardly anything on. They can come to church. Mm-hmm. There's different music rules in some churches that don't have there. Are those and other things? I can't remember. I mean, I could come up with them, but I don't. So would they be doctrines of men?
Certainly would be rules that men set aside, set put up. Perhaps Dr. Williams would like to call us and tell us about some of the dress regulations and rules for the German Baptists. I know there are differences of opinion, and there's been a split in the German Baptist group. And perhaps you'd like to outline some of the causes for that split because of the different things that they had to do and couldn't do, just like those that are out there in Pennsylvania, the Amish people. They have certain things. Some have buggies, and some have cars, but if you have a car, you have to have a certain color car. We have certain regulations on that. Some have electricity, most of them don't have electricity. They just have pumps and different things. Some have telephones, some don't have telephones. But some can use a telephone to go down the corner and use a telephone. Some people can't even do that. So different rules depending on the structure of things. Yes.
And if they say they're saved, then they're shunned.
That's right. They're shunned. If they're surely saved and born again out of that. So there's a lot of different groups that have this thing. Maybe that's Dr. Williams. Yes, Dr. Williams.
Hi, Dr.
Williams.
Nice Bible study this evening, and enjoying it, and glad everyone's there. Good to see the Koreans there again. Hello to everybody. Wave to me.
Wave to me.
Anyway, I would like to relate to you, since you asked me to address is the new conference of the German Baptist Church.
Yes.
There was a split because they were required to dress in a certain way. For example, they had to wear black stockings even during the summer. They had to wear colors of a certain size. For example, the print had to be a certain size on the dress. Their hair has to be plaited in a certain way. They could not watch television, which may be a good thing. They could not have a radio. They could not have a computer linked to the internet. Many, many things that they could not do. They also did not want their children to go on to any higher education. But that just gives you an example of the rules of man. They had a book as thick thicker than the Bible. Hmm. And it was the rules of the church that the members had to follow, and of course some of them were just ridiculous. So the church split, and those who seemed to be more educated came out of the German Baptist Church. There were doctors and lawyers and engineers and those kinds of folks that split off and have formed the new conference.
Good. Well, thank you for that outline. I appreciate it, Dr. Williams, very much.
Yes, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless all of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This one?
Baptists are this way, too.
Some Baptists are. Well,
they have
certain...
a book, but there's different things, rules. They're unwritten rules, and if you break them, you don't know you're breaking them. And like in schools, too, they have, but that's a different thing. But, yeah. I mean, how are you supposed to... what does Paul mean?
There's doctrines of man and there's ordinances and rules of man. It says doctrines of man. That's down here in verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
Which
right.
Doctrines is that the teachings of men.
Right. For instance, some of the teachings of men.
How does everything that man do?
That
plus God.
Right. Some of the religious teachings of men, for example, about the Roman Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church, some other churches, talk about infant baptism gives remission of original sin and so on. Is that a Bible doctrine?
No.
Some of them, of course.